You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Well, we're in week two of our series, and I probably will teach this more than I preach it. I think the Lord just woke me up with a different spirit after I went to bed last night with a lot of this on my mind of what happened this weekend, the message itself, just some personal things that God led me through. And I feel more prone this morning to teach. And so I may have a moment of overflow or two, but for the most part, I think I'm just speaking internally to you from my heart as a pastor, because I desperately think everyone under the sound of my voice needs some part of this message. So maybe that's some kind of leading of the Holy Spirit for you personally, that I'll teach this message a little bit differently this morning. We're talking about following the shepherd. We're studying verse by verse through Psalm 23. I call it the famous Psalm 23. We began with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Last week, we learned that everything starts with relationship. Everything. It's all about relationship at the beginning of our following the shepherd. You see, if you don't have that vertical relationship with Jesus first, if you've never come to a place in your life where you've determined and said yes to Jesus, answered his request, his invitation to follow him in relationship, then it doesn't matter what kind of horizontal things you've got going on in the span of lifetime that you live. You need to take care of the relationship with Jesus first. Make sure he is your shepherd. He cannot guide you unless you've made him your shepherd. Today, verse 2, the Bible says he makes me lie down in green pastures. And then the verse is completed by saying this: he leads me beside still waters. This morning's message is very practical. It's somewhat simple, but I think it's incredibly timely. The title of the message, and it's in your worship guide, is Follow the Shepherd for Rest from the Stress. And let's be honest, many of us are regularly overwhelmed. Can I get a little low amen? Yeah? I mean, if you're like me, these are moments that happen quite often where we have such busy schedules, where we are experience emotional pressure for one reason or the other, where we understand that at times we are spiritually even exhausted in our work in the ministry. We want to slow down, but what happens is life just won't let us. We want to. We have every desire to. But how can I? I mean, have you seen my schedule lately? Have you seen my unanswered emails? Life just won't let me slow down. I'm just speaking for all of us today. We're so busy surviving that if we're not careful, we've forgotten how to live. And what's interesting is this. You would think in 2025, in this high-tech, AI-driven world, you would think that we might understand how we can find more time. And yet, busyness has become a modern-day epidemic. We have replaced rest with rush. We have replaced connection with convenience. It seems like it's so much easier just to say, I'll pick up something to eat on the way home. I'll grab a fast food. Hey, let's just throw something together. Hey, throw this in the microwave. To sit down and have a family meal is almost extinct in the culture that we live in. Many are so drained emotionally, drained mentally, drained spiritually, that they don't know what rest even looks like anymore. And we ask the question oftentimes to someone, I do this often, hey, how are you doing? And the answer that I get more often than not is, man, I'm just busy, trying to keep up with it all. I want to help you this morning. I pray that at the end of this message and throughout these next few weeks that you can trade your busyness for productivity. Can you imagine if we started answering that question, how are you, if it was productive? It's been productive versus, whew, busy. You see, busyness has this connotation that we're stressed, that we're just under the weight of all of the stress of life. And behind this pace we call stress is a problem, and it's a big problem. Oftentimes in ministry, we call it burnout. It could be just the burnout in our lives, in our jobs, in our marriages, in our ministry. It could look different ways. But we're too busy making a living to make a life. And then we wonder why our souls are so empty. And so I commit to you today that in this world that is full of stress, what we need more than anything else is not just physical rest, but it's soul rest. It is well with my what? My soul. What does that even mean? What does it look like to say it is well with my soul? Yes, we need physical rest. Yes, our bodies need to lay down and sleep. But we can't do that 24 hours a day. Our soul needs rest too. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who are wearied, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. It's as if we, have you ever been to get maybe a massage? And as he's giving you that opening moments of the massage, he comments about how tight your neck muscles are and how stressed you must be. And you, and you start feeling that relief. It's almost like Jesus comes in this verse and begins to kind of massage our soul and said, hey, look, man, you're overwhelmed. Hey, I've got this. I'm in control. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Because I am lowly, I'm humble in heart. You'll find, here it is, rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And yet so many are so wired. We're so rushed. We're so worn out. And today, this morning, we're going to find the cure is found in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 2, where he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And so I want to give you from that one verse, three ways to find rest when you're stressed. From Psalm 23 verse 2. And the first point is this. And I want you to especially notice the first word in the first point. It says stop. Stop and rest in his care. Stop. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just stop. Stop and rest. We take that little phrase, he makes me to lie down. When life is too much, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just to stop. And what we need to do is let the shepherd slow us down. Just trust that if he is slowing us down, it is best for us. That he's just trying to give our souls some space to breathe. And what's interesting is you look at the text, David didn't say, I lie down. No, he didn't say that. He said, he made me lie down. And I suspect that that phrase holds many possibilities from the loving hand of God. I know that one of the possibilities could be, as we've heard before in illustrations about the shepherd taking the sheep and it's wandering and doing its own thing and getting out of kind of in a rebellious place, getting where the enemy or the wolves can destroy it. And so what have you heard? Maybe you've heard this. I've heard this, where the shepherd, what? Breaks the sheep's leg and makes it lie down. That's one way that I know the shepherd could do it, but I don't see any broken legs this morning. We all made it to church. We're sitting in an air-conditioned building in padded chairs and pews, and we chose to let him lie us down this morning. We chose to sit still. We chose to come into this house of prayer this morning and listen to what God has to say. Oh, listen, God knows you can't run forever. God knows you can't fix everything. God knows you can't carry your burdens all by yourself. So this word makes is an important word. It's like he is asking us to submit to the provision of the shepherd for our lives. The shepherd knows where we need to be to find rest and refreshment. Now, studying about shepherds and sheep, I found some really interesting things. That there are four requirements for the sheep to lie down. And without these things, sheep will not lie down. As I say these four things, I want you to think for just a minute if you have a problem lying down when these four things are going on in your life. Because remember, Jesus refers to you and me as a sheep over 200 times in the Bible. 200. Number one, sheep must be free from all fear. If they are going to lie down, they have to be free from all fear. I found a little verse tucked away in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 2, that says the cities of Arar are abandoned. But here's what's interesting about this little verse. They will be places for flocks. They will lie down without fear. As I studied that verse, I found out that if a sheep senses danger, it can't afford to lie down because its only means of escape is to run. So if there's any danger, it has to run. It can't lie down. A sheep won't lie down if it's anxious. And you know what? It sounds a little bit like me. I won't lie down if I'm anxious. Many people never rest because they have too many fears, too many anxieties. Have you ever been in your home at night and you're trying to rest, but you hear a noise in the house and you're like, what is that? You check the front door and I'm sure some of you kind of, okay, where's the gun? Let's make sure. What's that noise? What's going on? I know when we were early on in our days of raising our special needs daughter, who's lived in our room for 19 years. And there's a reason why she has to live in our room. It all started with this febrile seizure that she would have, this high temperature fever. It would spike from normal to 105 like that. And when it did, she would vomit in the middle of the night. And I think you call it exasperate. Aspirate. Thank you. And she could have done. And so we, in the early days, it was hard for Carol Ann and I to rest because we had so much anxiety in that bedroom, fearful that Glory Ann would, whatever the word is, exasperate. Yeah, sorry. I need to do better at my English here, but we feared that she would do that. And so oftentimes we found ourselves having a difficult time sleeping. But over these years, we both learned to go with the flow of glow. Yes, she's different. And yes, there's certain things you can't control about glow. Anybody ever heard her scream in the foyer? Amen? I mean, one time she screamed in the foyer and three people ran thinking somebody was getting hurt. And we said, it's just my daughter. She just screams. I don't know why. You can't predict her. So you just got to trust the Lord. He loves her so much more than we do. He'll take care of her. We still tend to wake up sometimes through the night and check. I did last night a couple of times, just checking on her. But we've learned he's in control. We're able now to lift our hands to heaven. Nothing quiets a flock of sheep like knowing their shepherd is with them. Number two, there must be no friction between the sheep. No friction. Sheep can't rest when there's friction. As I studied sheep, I found out that every animal society, there's an established order of dominance or status. Maybe you knew this already. I think in the chicken world, it's called the pecking order. Is that right? The pecking order. This dominance that a particular chicken will have. But in the sheep world, it's called, you ready for this? Interesting. It's called the budding order. Yeah, it kind of sounds a little shaky. The budding order. This is when a sheep drives away other sheep from their favorite grazing spot. Don't mess with this is my spot and you're not going to get my grass. They can't rest if they're butting heads with other sheep. Conflict steals your rest. When you're at conflict, butting heads with other brothers and sisters in Christ, butting heads with your spouse, butting heads with your children. Listen, when you are in butt mode with other people, excuse me, you stop feeding and you start fighting. And you can't rest. But when we follow the shepherd, we stop fighting. There's no rivalry. There's no jealousy. I learned this early on in my ministry because I was involved in somewhat of an atmosphere and not necessarily in our church, but in the church culture that I was in on a national level. It was all about competition. It was all about being the biggest, being the best, having the most baptisms. And honestly, there was friction in the ranks of the world that I lived in, trying to be the biggest and the best. That's why I'm not a real favorite of this magazine that puts out the 100 largest churches. I wonder how that makes a country preacher feel, running 100 people out in the middle of nowhere in a town that has 200. He'll never be on that list. I think we've created so much rivalry and competition. It's hard to rest. You see, there's no place for that in our church. Listen, it's not about you being as good or as popular or as talented as someone else. It's about you being you. Just be the best you you can be for Jesus. Number three, for sheep to lie down, they must not be pestered by flies. You ever seen flies get around a sheep, especially if you've ever seen a picture? There's actually one of the pictures on the video. You see that sheep, it's just driving him crazy. If you look closely at the video, you'll see these flies all around. Horses have long tails. Cows have long tails to kind of swat those flies. But a sheep, oh, it just pesters him like crazy and it drives him crazy. And just like flies pester sheep, sins and temptation pester the believer. We are so pestered by the sins around us in this society. We're tempted on every side. So much sin rampant in our culture today that it's tough sometimes to just rest and not be anxious because you're so on guard for all the things that seem to be attacking us through the television, through our phones. I mean, it's everywhere. What do we need? We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to soothe our souls. This is what we need. We need to walk in the Spirit. Follow the shepherd. Walk in the Spirit so that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, listen, I am tempted. And there are times when I feel the pressure of this world around me, coming in around me, trying to destroy my focus on the shepherd. But if I just keep my eyes on the shepherd, man, I tell you, I don't know any other way to stay pure and clean and to stay away from these vicious attacks from Satan than to just keep following the shepherd. For sheep to lie down, they must be well fed. This is my favorite one. Amen. Everybody ready to be well fed this afternoon? Who's in? Amen. Oh, listen, there's nothing like a good Sunday afternoon meal, and I'm excited about today. I guarantee you what's going to happen with me is when I go home and eat, after I eat about 30 minutes later, I'm going to lie down and go to sleep. Amen? I can't wait for my Sunday afternoon nap. You feed me good, and I promise you I'll sleep good. But it's more than that. Listen to Ezekiel 34:15. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. I'll feed them, and that will make them rest. They'll lie down because only satisfied sheep lie down because you can't rest on an empty spirit. This is why it's so good for you being here this morning. I can assure you, and I believe this with all of my heart, you will have a better week, a more productive week. I think you'll have a potentially a more restful week as you face the challenges of this week because you came this morning. And you were fed from the Word of God. Amen? There's rest in this. Oh, listen, if you have fear or friction or flies, if you're not fed well, you don't want to lie down and rest. Why? Because you're stressed. You're anxious. And yet God may make you lie down to give you the rest that you need. So here's my first piece of advice. Let God make you lie down. Stop and rest in his care. It's not punishment. It's provision. It's provision. Number two. Notice the first word in number two. It's the word settle. We said stop, but now let's settle. Where? Where God places you. In the green pasture. God places you where you will grow. Let me make this statement. You don't need to chase greener grass. Just trust God's plan. Stay close to him. You know, when I went to Israel in 2020, and I sure hope I get to go in 2027 with you. It'd be awesome. There's nothing quite like it. You'll never read your Bible the same again. You'll never especially read the story of Gethsemane in that final week of the life of our Savior on this earth after visiting the Holy Land. But when I was in the Holy Land in 2020, we traveled on these really nice buses. These buses were super nice, and we'll have that as well. Seats about 50, and they're just wonderful. Everybody gets their own little headset, and you can ask questions to the tour guide, and then she'll answer the question. She'll repeat your question and answer the question to the entire group. It's really cool. And so I asked a question. I was looking out my window and I saw a shepherd with sheep. But what I thought was interesting and I couldn't figure out, and I'm thinking of Psalm 23:2 when I was asking this question, is, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures, but I did not see any green pastures. Everything looked parched and stony and hard and dry. And I'm thinking, this shepherd must be lost. Where is he leading the sheep? So I just asked the question. I said, I'm just curious. It looks like there are no green pastures here. Why would this shepherd be with his sheep? And she said, that's a good question. And I thought, okay, good. That's good. That's a good question. I'm feeling like a good schoolboy at this point. And she said, the shepherd knows where the green pastures are. And sometimes you have to go through some really parched areas and some dry areas to know where the green grass is. It's oftentimes in a valley or behind a rock where moisture can grow the grass. And so the most important thing is that the sheep keep following the shepherd because the shepherd knows where the pasture is. I said, thank you. I got my answer. And 5 years later, I'm putting it in a sermon. You see, we don't always understand where we're going, but God knows what's best. God provides us with the right pastures. Listen to this. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, I am the gate. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I'm guarding the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, but only by me. You must come through the shepherd. He will be saved. He will come in. He'll go out. And this is my favorite part of the passage for this morning. He'll find pasture. He'll find just what he needs. The Lord desires for his sheep to find rest from stress. And then there's this question I found in Song of Solomon, just kind of out in the middle of nowhere in that interesting, unusual book of the Bible. He said, tell me, whom I love, where do you find pasture? Where do you find pasture for your sheep? Where do you let them rest at noon? Almost as if it doesn't, kind of like I was wondering, where are these guys going to find pasture? Where are they going to get rest? It doesn't look like there's rest here. But the pasture is a place that you find when you follow the shepherd. He'll lead you to a place of feeding. He'll lead you to a place of resting. He'll lead you to a place of nourishment. He'll lead you to a place of strengthening. And remember, Jesus doesn't promise abundance. He promises just enough. Now, wait a minute. I know Jesus promises an abundant life, and we understand that's a life full of joy and peace and so many things that the Spirit provides when we get saved. But it doesn't necessarily mean that God's always going to give you everything you want, all your desires and cars and luxury things and houses. It just means God's going to give you what you need. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't mean I shall have all my desires. It means I shall have everything that I need. Just enough. Just enough. God promises daily bread. God leads you to what you need when you need it. Just follow the shepherd. That's the theme of the series. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where God guides. Let me say that again. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where God guides. When I was a young pastor here at Gospel Light, we were experiencing a lot of church growth. And without going into the story, we were on our second building and the church was packed and growing. And we were experiencing what you might call some ministry success, at least in what others would say. And maybe why others would call and say, hey, we've got an opportunity for you, Eric. We want to invite you to come to this city or that city and pastor this church or be this person or that person. And I started getting, in my early 30s, opportunities to leave Hot Springs. I mean, you've experienced that in your life where you experience some success. And maybe somebody wants you to come and find out that it's just better over here. I'm a big city guy. I had calls from a few bigger city type churches, and I thought, you know, I'm born and raised in New Orleans, went to school in Chicago, was a youth pastor in L.A. I like professional sports, and Arkansas ain't got none. And it just seemed small to me. But I never had a peace I never had a peace. I never even visited any of those churches. Would you come and just preach in view of a call? Sometimes I would say, let me pray about it. But every time I'd pray, for some reason, God spoke to me and said, the grass isn't. Here's what he said to me very clearly. Enjoy where you are. Eric, enjoy where I have you. This is the pasture I have you in. Stop looking elsewhere. Trust in God. I'm not saying that God wouldn't lead someone to go somewhere. That's not what I'm saying. I'm giving you my personal testimony to illustrate what I believe so many of us need to understand about this thing of stress and worry. We're dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pastures. And so again, Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And just real quickly, let me touch on that word lead, because how does the shepherd lead? God wants his people to be led not by what they see. God wants his people to be led by what they hear, not just by what they, because sometimes if we just are led by what we see, we tend to see something better. Well, that looks better. But what does the Bible say? Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see, God wants us to listen. He wants people that will hear his word like a sheep and follow the voice of the shepherd. The voice. Our theme verse for this series is the sheep follow him because they know his voice. What is his voice? It's his word. And the sheep hear the shepherd's word. They recognize it. Last week after I preached on verse 1, Jenny Twisdale, who attends the first service, sent me a text. She said, preacher, you're not going to believe this, but I was looking at this video before you preached this service, and I thought, how ironic. And she sent it to me, and I want to show it to you, because I think it illustrates our theme verse as much as anything else. It's about a minute and a half, and it's going to show you how sheep know the voice of a shepherd. Take a look.
One more time.
Oh, one is.
Oh, dear.
Look at them, look at them.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They are coming. Oh my God. Woo! Oh my God. I can't believe this. Oh my God.
Thank you so
much. Isn't
that
great?
Isn't that beautiful? What a simple illustration in real time of what Scripture teaches us. You see, the green pastures, don't miss this. This is so important. The green pastures of Psalm 23 in verse 20 and verse 2 are his word. That's the green pastures. Feed from his word. What does the Bible say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Question, are you getting rest from his word? First thing I did this morning when I got to my office, and I do it every Sunday morning. Well, every morning, but especially on Sundays, I need it. I love it. I honestly look forward to this, just spending some quiet time in the Word. It's my favorite thing to do. Just get alone and just read a few scriptures. And I'm so fed by that. And I can't tell you how many times throughout my lifetime God has used my morning devotions to help me in a specific way throughout the day. It's amazing. Feed your soul in the Word of God. in quietness, in worship, in stillness. You see, the green pastures is not always a place. It's a scripture. And the green pastures are where God speaks and restores. Let me give you my last thought. We'll be done. Number one, stop and rest in his care. Stop. He makes me lie down. Settle where God places you, in green pastures. And number three, slow down. Hey, slow down. I know what you're thinking. Look who's talking. Hang on. I'm okay. I'm going to help all of us, including me. If you've been here any period of time, you know what pastor tells you. When you say that was a good sermon, I said, look, it was good for me too, because any preacher that doesn't get convicted at his own preacher is not a good pastor. I'm convicted just as much as you are. Slow down. Slow down and follow his lead. You were not made to run on empty. Let's go back. Psalm 23:2. Here it is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I want you to see a couple of things. He leads me beside still water. So the shepherd does what? He leads. He leads. He leads me. But wait a minute. Where does he lead me? He leads me to stillness. It's the next one. He leads me to stillness beside still waters. This is where he leads me. The purpose in the shepherd leading me is that I might experience stillness. And so I want to give you two quick ways to accept the shepherd's two things: pace and accept his peace. The two P's of the shepherd, the pace and the peace. Got to slow down to experience his peace. Number one, walk in his will and follow his pace. That word walk. He walks with me. He talks with me. How do I get in the pace, the rhythm of the Spirit? Well, I learned some things. I want to give you these things. The shepherd always sets the pace for the sheep. If you watch a shepherd leading his sheep, the sheep never get out in front of the shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd's pace. We are not called to control the journey. We're not. We're called to follow. He's in control. When we rush ahead and try to force outcomes, we exhaust ourselves. I see this happen so often, even amongst our own people. We just try to force something and we exhaust ourselves in forcing what we were trying to accomplish versus just following the shepherd. When we lag behind and get distracted, we miss where God is moving. And a good shepherd never drives the sheep. He leads them. So to walk at his pace, you must submit to his will. And doing God's will mean trusting his timing, following his lead, and living in his rhythm. In his rhythm. You know, sometimes I'll come home and my wife will say this: you make me stressed. She goes, I was fine until you got home, you know. And she's probably right sometimes, but when I'm in God's rhythm, I'm hard to handle. I mean, you get me in a busy day or a productive day. Sorry, productive. You get me in a productive day and I'm in God's rhythm and I'm just walking in that pace of the Spirit. I'm getting stuff done left and right. I find I come to the end of the day, I'm rested. I've had a day full of things, emails and calls and text messages and appointments. And it may look to you like it was crazy. You may look at my schedule, my little, what is it called, Outlook, and say, oh, and that's crazy. But I'm like, you know, really, honestly, it was really a good day. I felt like I was in rhythm this morning, this day. This, the pace was right. Listen to Isaiah 40, chapter 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. He'll gently lead those that are with young. When the shepherd leads, the soul finds rhythm. But when we push, the soul loses rest. Number two. So we said this, walk in his will. Number two, wait and be still. Walk in his will, wait and be still. Easy to remember. Wait and be still and find peace. Here's a few more things I found about shepherds here, just to give you a list. Sheep cannot survive without water, and neither can your soul. Sheep are, interestingly enough, 70% of a sheep's body is water. But if you'll study your body, 50 to 70% of your body is water. And we desperately need continual replenishing. Sheep are afraid of fast-moving streams. They'll not drink from a fast-moving stream. They freeze at the edge of the water. They're unable to drink. So here's what the shepherd does. He gently shifts the stones. He makes it to where the fast-moving stream becomes a flow. It slows. It creates stillness so the sheep can safely drink. And God can do the same for you. God can take your fast-paced life and just make a few adjustments to where your life is in pace with the Spirit of God. Even when life feels chaotic or threatening, the Lord can create a stillness in the middle of your stress. I went to camp last week in Tennessee and preached for 5 days. We had 15 young people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We had kids crying out to God. Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. I mean, it was awesome. I'm getting text messages from a lot of these kids, and I'm just so excited. And many of them were at the altar. It was just awesome. But Monday on my way, I'm right outside of Memphis. I'm going 70 to 75 miles an hour. I'm really not like a speed demon kind of a driver. I really am not. If you know anything about me, that's not my thing. But I do go the speed limit. And sometimes I might push it one or two, but I try not to. So I'm going 70, 75. And all of a sudden, I feel my truck get a massive nudge from the left side. My driver's side. I mean, you pow. And I'm like, whoa. What just happened? I look to my left and there's this blue sports car in between me and a lady who was driving. I didn't see her because I was looking ahead. But when I looked and saw this little red car, this blue car had tried to go in between us. And when it did, it went pop, 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 pop. It was playing like a pinball machine in between two cars. My truck got pretty messed up, but his tire blew out and he went straight against the guardrail, crashed. And her tire blew out and she went straight across the guardrail and crashed. And I came over to the side, and make a long story short, the police came, wrote all their stuff, and he said, look, you can still drive, bro. He's in trouble. You're fine. Just take off. Here's what you need to go to the website and get this, that, and the other. I said, sure, I need to make it to camp tonight. I got to preach tonight at 7:30, and right now I'm cutting it close. Thank you so much. So I got back in the truck. Truck didn't look the same. It's got some scratches and dents and tire marks on the side. It's kind of crazy. But what I noticed about 10 minutes down the road was I was like at peace. I mean, I thought I should be freaking out right now. My heart should be racing. I should be angry. But I wasn't. All I could think about was, I'm okay. It's just the truck. No big deal. I'm driving. I'm going to be able to get there in time tonight to preach. God, thank you. This was pretty chaotic. But I feel like I'm just drinking from the still waters. And I don't say that at all to brag. I say that to say, to God be the glory. That sometimes when really bad things happen, God can still. You know, I was listening to a couple of people on the news yesterday talking about what happened. And there was a lot of, in the midst of how bad it was, a lot of people just saying, hey, this is when we need to lean into the Savior. I mean, newscast people. People that you wouldn't expect to say it. I've been following this story every inch of the way. And it's just fascinating to me. I think we're going to hear some amazing things as we continue to walk through this with people. You see, when David wrote still waters, he meant shalom. Shalom. Shalom means peace. Not just the absence of trouble, but the presence of calm. Stillness is not inactivity. Sometimes I think we think that's what it is. Well, it's just being lazy. No, it's not inactivity. It's an inner stability in God's presence. You can be like Peter walking on water and the waves are crashing around you, but you got your eyes on Jesus. He told you to walk and you're walking. And you have a peace until you take your eyes off Jesus and begin to sink. That's the illustration. Stillness is not inactivity, it's an inner stability in God's presence. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. If you want peace, you must pause long enough to drink from His still waters. Slow down. Still waters don't shout, they restore. Peace isn't loud, but it's life-giving. And we all have an inner thirst for peace. We do. We all have an inner thirst for satisfaction. Believe it or not, we all, even me, have an inner thirst for stillness. As as type A personality as I am, as energetic and enthusiastic, and I like to have a lot on my plate. But you know what? I love stillness. I love to just get along with God and get my cup filled. Listen, like sheep, when we don't follow a shepherd, we end up drinking from polluted waters, looking for satisfaction. And this is where we have to be careful, because you won't find peace at any other well but the well of the shepherd. Be careful not to feel as if there's some kind of drug out there that'll give you peace, or alcohol, or some sort of a substance addiction. Be careful, because so many people are looking for peace in the wrong place. That's not God's plan. Don't try and satisfy your inner thirst with other means. God's plan for your life is not panic and pressure, but peace. And only the shepherd gives true peace. Listen to John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I don't give you peace like the world gives. You're not going to find peace at a tavern. You're not going to find peace with a prostitute. You're not going to find peace on some drugs. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be fearful. And stress is the enemy of peace. And this gets us to the root of stress. And that leads us to this: fatigue. And fatigue comes in three different forms. There's physical fatigue. It's real. We get tired. Run on empty. Our body needs rest. And by the way, I highly recommend, if you can, 8 hours of sleep a night. I do. I recommend it. I try to get it every... If I can, I try to get 8 hours. Most of the time, I get seven. I never get less than six. Never. I can't function on less than six. I mean, I can function on 4 hours. Oh, come on. You be careful. There's ways to function on four, but there's usually other ways to kind of make it work and make up for that two or three you're missing. Be careful. There's physical fatigue. There's emotional fatigue. You're weary inside. Your soul needs restoration. There's spiritual fatigue. You feel distance from God. Your spirit needs revival. You need to find His peace, because you can't fix your spiritual problems with physical solutions like a vacation. I love vacation. I think vacations are fantastic. I take a 2-week vacation with my family every year. And a vacation might help your schedule, but it won't heal your spirit or settle your soul. There's still 50 weeks left in the year. Your vacation is not going to solve all of your rest problems. You don't need time off. You need time with the shepherd. You need more than relief. You need relationship. Exchange pressure for peace. Replace stress with stillness. Because the greatest rest comes not from a pillow. It comes from His presence. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up as we close the service. Psalm 23. Here we go. Here's what we've covered so far. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Are you with me, church? God's presence is right there. And our prayer needs to be, Lord, lead me today. Let me follow Your pace. Let me find Your peace. Because God didn't design you for stress. God designed you for stillness. For stillness. And what if the most spiritual thing you could do this week? What if this was true? What if the most spiritual thing you could do this week is stop? Stop striving. Stop pretending. Stop performing. Be still. And listen. Listen to God. Sit in the quiet place. Just meditate on His word. Feed your inner thirst with the word. In the green pasture of His word, beside the still waters of His will, the shepherd is waiting. The question is this: will you follow? Will you follow? If you need to come this morning and take some time at the altar, I'd be glad to pray with you, take a moment with you, just a moment. If you need to come and spend some time alone with God this morning at the altar. I saw a lot of that this week. I saw teenagers, man, it was awesome. Most of them came with another friend and just knelt at the altar with a friend and prayed. You're welcome to take someone with you to the altar today and pray. We're going to sing a song called Psalm 23. It's such a beautiful song. It probably should become the theme of our series. Listen to these words and respond. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for what you're doing and what you've done. I thank you, Father, for the stillness of this moment. Lord, I feel as if we're able to rest in church some. Just rest. Just enjoy the fellowship of other believers. Lord, it's a pretty hectic world out there. The flies are everywhere. Man, they're everywhere. It won't be 5 minutes we walk out this door and some sin or temptation will hit us right in the face. Father, we need the shepherd. We want to follow you today. We want to be submit to your will when it comes to lying down in the green pastures. We want to follow you to the still waters. Even if they don't feel so still, God, we know you'll take care of it. You'll move some things. You'll make a way for us to rest. It's just how you are, because you love your sheep and your sheep hear your voice. So we follow you today. We love you. Bless now this response time. Move in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?